Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, world.
Attention, gents. The Lions have landed. I repeat, the Lions have landed.
They've landed, and they've announced a team.
Yeah, quite a lot's happened since they touched down. What was it? 5 hours ago?
there's something you missed between landing and announcing a team, and that was Sam Warburton and Warren Gatland, among others, had some encounters and exchange rituals with some natives of New Zealand,
mate.
JB loves.
I've got about half an hour's worth of stuff to say about this. So we'll do the first 20 minutes on the Lions team and then the second 30 minutes on the rituals. Is that all right?
Fine by me.
Perfect. Hands
yeah,
in.
Yeah, me and Phil might have gone by then, but crack on.
Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, as always, joined in studio by Phil. Hello, Philip.
Hello, JB.
And down the line by none other than Tim Cocker. Hello, Tim.
Hello, JB. Hello, Phil. Hello from the Lions shipping container in London.
How is the shipping container today, Tim?
Kind of containery in a shipping sort of way, but it's not going to stop my excitement for the Lions. How long have we been waiting for this? And it feels like it's really here.
Yeah. And there is some big news too. However, we will get to that after you subscribe to us on Acast. You follow us on Twitter at the Rugby Podcast.
No, at Rugby Podcast.
Sorry, yes. No, do not follow the Rugby Podcast. It's at the Rugby Dungeon, isn't it? At Rugby Podcast. And of course, there is also our Facebook page. So check us out there. Yeah, so the Lions have landed.
They have. And this is the first time I'm actually really allowing myself to get excited.
Really?
I don't know about you, but I've kind of felt it's always distant.
Like a phony war.
Yeah, a little bit.
You feel like the troops in 1939.
Well, the shirt that I'm wearing now, this wonderful Canterbury, the classic shirt.
Nice that.
We received this a year ago from Canterbury. So the build-up has been so long that I've almost had to kind of hold off getting excited. But now the team is out. We're a couple of days away from them actually playing a game. I can get excited.
Interesting. I'm going to say I'm still not excited. Until they play a proper provincial game, I'm not fully on board.
Ooh, okay. What about you, Tim?
Oh, mate, I'm all in now. I'm right in there. I've seen, as well as my excitement, I'll tell you what, I don't know whether it's the influence of Pascal being on there.
Yes.
But the hashtag Bants is flying around in the Lions squad as well.
Lads.
There's pictures being posted online of like Liam Williams' passport photo, Anthony Watson, posted earlier. It's amazing. You've got to go and check that out.
Now that is banter.
It's an outrageous haircut that Liam Williams has got. What do you make of this? Some of the rooming partners have been picked for the first part of the tour, and Sean O'Brien got Haskell.
Did yeah. he?
He did.
Lucky Sean. He gets his decks. He gets everything.
Yeah, and also I think we now have learnt the reason why Warren Gatland picks so many Welsh players, because again there's more videos being posted by the British and Irish Lions of the squad doing forming a choir to when they landed in New Zealand.
Right. Okay then,
we've got a team though, we've got a first 15, we've got a first squad.
Yeah, okay, let's not get carried away with the squad. Before we go on to the squad, What is this nonsense? So is this standard custom procedure for when you land at New Zealand? No matter who you are, whether you've come to your waits tables or maybe be a chef or something, you come and are you instantly greeted by a warrior?
I'm not sure, because the arrivals concourse, the carpeted arrivals through area, did not seem like the best place, or a place that the warriors usually hang out.
Well, apparently it is. Apparently, airport security in New Zealand is the biggest job creation scheme for Indigenous people. I mean, that is clearly what it is. And it just pained me. You've got to stand there for God knows how long and watch respectfully. But it's forced respect, therefore not respectful. Tim, I bet that you love this.
Yeah, what's wrong with embracing the native culture of a land when you're coming to spend 6 weeks there, which would have been several months there back in the day when all these traditions were started?
Yeah, well, not for me. Yeah, in a time of Snapchat, I just think that tribal dances are a little bit past it. But there we go. I will say no more on the subject.
I don't understand the relation between Snapchat and tribal dances. Are you saying that now it
because
they
we've moved
be
on? Because we've just moved on.
So what?
It's over.
Doing?
It's done.
We should get.
I don't even like the hit. By the way,
native Inuit New Zealanders doing selfies with little bunny ears on them.
Yeah, maybe. But by the way, this goes both ways. I'm not entirely keen on players' choirs either. I understand it when they were on a ship for God knows how long and they had to form a choir and sing. But these guys just work out in the gym. It's not like, you know, one was the organist from the local church and the other one was the choir master in the amateur days. They're just professional athletes.
But go and have a look at it. I'll tell you what, Ken Owens is belting it out.
Yeah. Well, not
he's giving it some.
Not for me. I think it's probably a good time to throw us over to Phil to ask him exactly what the team is, because this sounds like your kind of department, Philip.
There's one thing I need you to start getting ready, JB. Start blowing the cobwebs off of a certain piece of equipment. Because we're gonna need it again.
All right, mate. All right.
Okay. So, starting off in the front row. Of all the clubs in the British and Irish Lions, I bet you didn't think there'd be two Harlequins starting the first test. Well, not the first test, but the first
You know,
game.
That is an amazing point. Yeah. I mean, does that really just say how bad the Harlequins hooker is?
Well, as we've discussed many times over, the Harlequins have one excellent hooker just spread across three different individuals.
Exactly. Just like Sale Sharks, their excellent curry is spread across two bodies. same thing.
Before you go any further with the team, Phil, can we just all agree that the British and Irish Lions official social media channels need to get a better layout for their team, because they've done it in three columns of five, and due to the way that you expect to see rugby teams, I thought Alan Wynne-Jones was hooker.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right, mate. How hard? So the Lions have got a wonderful history on the one hand, but a horrific history on the other. And the horrific history is how they announced their teams. They decided to announce the entire squad alphabetically, which is just... So they announced it alphabetically, but they also split it into backs and forwards. So, you know, no one really wins there. And then you're right. When they do their team announcement, they've done it in... Yeah, just describe it.
Well, working down from the left, it goes Joe Marler, Alan Wynne-Jones, Sam Warburton. So you expect they're playing one...
They're going to struggle there.
I was thinking, A. Jones in the front row, is Adam Jones back? Surely not.
Yeah, so they're pretty poor at this, and it's relatively basic stuff.
It's real basic the way it could be done. Anyway, the team. So Marler and Sinclair, Harlequins, Loosehead and Tighthead.
Yep.
Shored up by Ulster's Rory Best. Who's alongside his other two Ulster teammates in the team. In the second row, we've got Alan Wynne-Jones and Ulsterman Ian Henderson.
Beautiful.
And then it's an all-Welsh back row of Moriarty, Warburton and Faletau.
Like it?
So, some nice bit of... In that pack, it's probably not the most experienced pack. You've got Moriarty and Sinclair and Hendo, who are not the most experienced. But you've got ball carriers right throughout. So Moriarty, Faletau, Hendo, Sinclair and Marler are all pretty handy ball carriers.
Mm.
So it's an interesting... Not a bad pack to start.
No, it's not. The problem with these packs is any eight they're going to pick is going to be brilliant. So it doesn't really tell you what Gatland's looking to do, because there's not that much difference between all the players. They're all, if you want, all court players. They can do everything.
Yeah.
So it's
I think there's potentially some things you can read into it. For example, quite often you see the number four second row as more of your enforcer, workhorse type, and the five, the line out guy. Now, when he plays for Wales, Alan Wynne Jones is a typical number five kind of line out captain.
And yeah.
Takes a lot of the ball, and he's a four in this side.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And I wonder if that actually facilitates the picking of Sam Warburton, who is actually pretty handy in a line out.
In a line out, yeah. But is that putting too much pressure on Warburton, captain the side and calling the line-out?
Well, you know, here's Lions captain, grow up and run the line-out.
but other than that, yeah, there's good balance. There's a good balance with the second rows. You've got the work and the carrying ability and the loose skills. And then the back row, as we've seen with Wales, can be very, very good with those three.
Definitely.
Yeah, I do agree that they're a good back row. But from the Six Nations, if you're going to pick a back row of the tournament, would they be your three?
They wouldn't be the back row of the tournament, but they're a good, solid back row.
Yeah, there's a lot of good cohesion there, I guess, isn't there? Particularly Faletau and Warburton.
Yes. And I mean, when you look at the squad, I don't think it's a case of anyone having been left out or selected over anyone else. It is just the freshest, least played people are the most involved.
Yeah, and it's very important to note that no one who played in the two finals at the weekend was considered for this game.
No, how would... Yeah, just wouldn't have enough time, would they?
Well, I mean, theoretically they could do, but it would be asking too much to... Of your kind of 6 days or 5.5 days recovery, to spend probably a day and a half of that in transit.
Mm.
Particularly given that those from Dublin had to get from Dublin to London for the dinner, and then from London to Dubai, Dubai to Melbourne, Melbourne to wherever they've flown into, Wellington.
Now, we asked Auckland. A very, very important question on Sunday, and that was, how did Jack Knoll go out with the boys and get on the plane? And we have an answer.
We do.
He was out until at least 1 a.m, is what we understand, and he got a taxi at 7 a.m. to go meet up with the squad. What a good lad.
Yeah, 200-mile taxi.
Is that right? Yeah.
From Exeter to London.
Well, having been on the piss on the bus all the way back to Exeter, he had a car back the other direction, hammered. Love yeah. it.
Fair, wow. Fair play. Good lad.
It just shows that those Lions coffers are in pretty healthy shape.
Well, do you know what? You say that, but the Lions are making an absolute mint. They're making a fortune. But the deal that this is based on, with the who gets what funding and say how much players get and who makes what money, is this is the last tour under the current deal, and basically there's going to be a readjustment on the next tour. The money will be looking very, very different. It won't make any less money, obviously. It will be very lucrative, but the organisation of the British and Irish Lions made an absolute fortune. And I think it was it Australia the last tour was, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
They made a ridiculous amount of money, Australia, because they had there's certain things they didn't have to pay for. They didn't have to contribute any money for the Lions to be there. But I think, again, it'll be more negotiated thing. It'll be like, you're going to make a fortune, so you're going to give us some of that, and we're going to spread that around the home unions a bit more. So anyway, that's not for now. That's for after the tour and long in the future.
Well, I tell you what is for now, and this will really appeal to your sense of social justice, Tim. But do you know in school, like when maybe one of the poorer schools play some of the richer boys, and there's that chip on our shoulder, we've got to beat these idiots, so on and so forth.
I was in a school that did that. We had
of course you were.
We had all these historical fixtures from when the school was like a grammar school years and years and years before. We had all these, we played all these posh schools, but we were the comprehensive on their fixture list. And, we used to, and they used to hate, I remember Abingdon School lost to us one year and they all got, the whole team got given a detention the next day.
Wow. If you're in that Abingdon team, please write in. Well, how would you feel about this, Tim? Not only is Jack Noel able to get a 200-mile taxi, he also then shows up with all of his mates in velvet blazers. Is this not the ultimate way to kind of show British arrogance? I mean, they're kind of dressed like, you know, like 19th-century soldiers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, we're going to dress up the lines like colonial soldiers. This'll go well.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm all down for the Velvet Blazers, as we talked about before. Some wonderful stash on and off the field on the show so far.
Yeah. I love those red ties with the golden lions.
Oh, yeah. And do you know where you can get them from?
Thomas Pink.
Yeah, you can get them from... Well, I wasn't going to say the name because they don't sponsor us. But, yeah,
they don't.
you can get the whole collection there. It's brilliant.
Can I just say how... Just the final thing before we move on from the forwards to the backs. How wonderful it is to see a leader turning up on a big event.
Go on.
Yeah, where's this going?
Where's this going?
Having just sat through an hour and a half of...
it's not going here.
Say the same thing on the TV.
Read out the backs to me, please.
Moving swiftly on. Backs. Soon to be Claremont number 9, Greg Laidlaw starts alongside Leinster's Johnny Sexton as 9 and 10, which is not bad, I don't think.
Yeah, I can take or leave Laidlaw, I'm not that bothered.
You've got Big Ben Teo, BBT.
Here we go!
This... Now, Tim, I know you love this song, but is this really Pete Teo?
Well,
I think pulling on a Lions jersey and running out onto the field has got to be the next and highest level he's achieved in rugby so far, hasn't it?
Yes.
Nearly.
In rugby union, this is the highest level he's achieved so far.
I'm not sure because of who they're playing.
Maybe.
So if he gets a provincial game, that's definitely peak tail. Because these provincial teams are going to be a nightmare. And if he gets into the test team, we're just gonna have a podcast and play that over. Not like when he got picked for the Lions. We'll do maybe an hour and a half of it.
Yeah, yeah. On loop. A solid hour and a half.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I think even if he gets on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is important, actually, because I think that maybe this is kind of indicating what might be going on strategically for the Lions.
Which is a big ball carrying 12 and a bit more guile at 13. So Big Ben Teo at 12 and Jonathan Joseph at 13.
They make a nice pair, don't they?
Not bad pair, yeah.
Don't talk down my BBT. He's got distribution skills, offloading skills as well. He's not just a flat track bully.
Yeah. He does have offloading skills, I guess.
He definitely has offloading skills. The distribution skills...
Maybe not so much.
We'll see.
Can I put a fly in the ointment here for Big Ben Teo?
Okay.
If you are a renowned offloader, the most important thing is, particularly if you play alongside one, is timing. I wonder how much that is going to influence how much he plays.
But yeah, well, that's a good point. He should at least be well-versed with Jonathan Joseph, because they've been in and around the England camp, and also those two boys have been with the Lions camp right from the start.
Yeah.
There was only 14 available for the very first Lions get-together because all of the rest of the teams were playing in the Champions Cup final and the Pro 12 and the Avicii semi-finals, and indeed the knockout for Northampton players. But Ben Teo and Joseph have been available from day one.
I wonder as well, I mean, this is mentioned actually in the Exeter game, that all week they train front rows in blocks, so the starting three and the replacement three.
Yep.
So there's no disruption. I wonder how much the Lions are training in blocks.
Well, if you look at the front rows, so you'd argue that Marler, Best, Sinclair, maybe Best has got the best chance of starting a test from those three.
Mm.
But if you look at the replacements, that could actually be a test.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Block, because the replacements are Mako, Jamie George, and Ty Furlong.
Oh, that's dynamite, isn't it?
It's not a bad...
Wow.
So you could see the... En masse, the replacement front row all coming on, and that could be the test front row.
Yeah, I can see those two front rows operating together for quite a while.
Yeah. So,
further out.
Rest of the backs. Then we've got the back three. Wingers, we've got one fast guy in Anthony Watson and one kind of very good all-round workhorse in Tommy Seymour.
Yep.
And I don't mean workhorse as a cart horse. I mean... His work rate is tremendous. He's a very skillful individual. And then, arguably, the test fullback, Stuart Hogg, starting at 15.
Stuart Hogg. Tasty team. Show me nothing about the opposition, really, isn't it?
As far as I'm aware, the opposition has not yet been announced. The one name that
Gatland.
I'm expecting to
Gatland.
See is Bryn Gatland.
Yeah, now, this a big deal has been made out of this for a long time.
Now, ordinarily, what happens is an open side makes getting to the 10 their job. But I think on this occasion, you're going to see Bryn Gatland making a beeline to try and smash Sam Warburton. Kind of a jealousy thing going on.
The favourite son.
He only has one son. or maybe you got that wrong. Maybe the strategy is Sam Warburton flying off the side and targeting the 12 under a set of very strange orders that he doesn't quite understand. So there's all sorts of things in play here.
Yeah. And then I'll quickly run through the bench. So we've already mentioned that. George, Vunipola, Furlong, front row. Then George Cruis and Tipperick make up the replacement forwards with Rhys Webb, Owen Farrell and Jared Payne on the bench, making up the third Ulsterman in this team and the third Ulsterman in the squad.
Nice. It's a very powerful... I mean, you struggle to pick a Lions team that isn't powerful, really, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly this year, it does feel like... I wouldn't like to name any names, but in former years, there's been maybe some weaker Lions, some better Lions and some weaker Lions.
Who are the weaker Lions in your mind?
I'm probably more thinking of call-ups, but...
You've got to be outside the call-ups. I think that's only fair. Because a lot of these guys are just on holiday and they need a body for the midweeks.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is unfair.
I'll open that up to you, Tim. Can you think of any weak Lions?
I don't want to sound like I'm picking on him, but yeah, I think James Haskell.
No, you're wrong there. Right.
He has played very well for England, but I don't think he's anywhere near the test team, whichever position you look at. I think he's comfortably, but then, as we've said before, it would not
be
a total surprise if he ends up much higher up the pecking order.
The career of James Haskell is continually surprising and overachieving time and time again. Write him off at your peril, even.
Yeah, One question, do you know who brought the stuffed lion? I can't remember what the name of it is. It changed.
Yeah, it has changed, hasn't it?
It's Bill.
Why is it Bill?
It was Leo.
It's now Bill.
I mean, Leo's a very famous lion name. Bill?
Don't know.
Okay. Is it
Bill the lion. Do you know who brought him in with his bags of stash?
Itochi?
Yep.
Yep.
Ah. It was. And is it still the youngest lion? It must be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to drag that around. Brilliant. All right. Well, anything you want to add about the Lions before we move on?
No. Just What time's the game? Is it 7?
Every single game is whatever it is. If it's 8:30 or 8:45, I can't remember. But every single game on the tour is on every day, whether it's midweek, whether it's
weekends,
is all the same time.
8:35.
I have an announcement.
Okay.
From Fiona Hunter. Bill is spelt B-I-L.
British Irish Lion.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, very good. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you, Fiona, and thank you, Lawrence, although you were a bit slow, mate. So
should it not
you.
Be Bale? B-A-I-L.
Bale. That's not... Maybe it should be called Christian. Kind of like Cotton Earrings.
He is Welsh.
I wouldn't want to give the word "and" equal prominence with the word British, Irish and Lion. So I'm quite happy with Bill.
Christian the Lion. And also there's Christian the Lion.
Who's Christian the
Have
Lion?
Have you never seen the video of Christian the Lion?
I've not, no. If
even the bravest man will cry when they watch the video of Christian the Lion.
Oh, is this like the lion version of Harambe the Gorilla? Was he someone that was killed?
No. It's kind of. No, not really. That's not the... No, what happened, right, is a couple of blokes bought a lion from Selfridges when you could do that. And they bought the lion up and they used to run it around a church graveyard. And when it got too big, as lions inevitably do, they sent it over to Africa. And then they went and met up with the lion later.
Oh, yes.
It's an amazing clip. It brings a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really, the lion should be called Christian.
After Bale. After Christian Bale and Christian the Lion.
There you go.
Wasn't there... I remember there being a TV show when we would have been all kids, like when I was really young, like on Channel 4 or something. Daktari?
Nah.
Do you not remember that?
I remember the name, but that's
it was like that was a family that lived with a lion and used to run around. He was in the back garden. I think it was based in South Africa. Anyway.
Well, there you go.
Anyway.
Maybe the next lion could be called Daktari.
More celebrity lions on the next episode. The lions will smash them on this one, won't they? I don't think result-wise, they're actually, New Zealand are giving the lions one game that should be relatively comfortable.
Yeah, completely agree, mate. Do not read anything into this result, other than maybe if the Lions have a certain pattern of play or something. That will pretty much be it.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
But so to where we were, every single game on the entire tour, midweek, weekend, it's all 8:35 a.m. UK time.
Yes.
Now, let's move on from the Lions and just finish off something we didn't even touch on. On Sunday.
It outrageously.
Was a dreadful, dreadful oversight. We apologise profusely. We got too excited about the finals that happened at the weekend and we completely forgot about the Green King IPA Championship second leg final where London Irish narrowly beat Yorkshire Carnegie.
What was the end score? Because I stopped watching about 60 minutes in.
55-48.
Yeah. What a game.
They obviously took inspiration from the way Bristol defended throughout this season.
Yeah, do you know what? I am not at all confident about London Irish's chances coming back up. I think they make so many mistakes. I mean, considering they were that much better than Leeds in terms of their talent and... You know, maybe even in terms of their structures and the way they played, how they dominated the set piece, but the mistakes, they were everywhere. And then to get that far ahead and then to concede points, I'm not convinced at all. They're going to have to do a lot of work on their actual style of play during the off season.
I would go with that. Yeah, they've got some talented players. They've got a whole host of internationals spread across that team.
Talent. I mean, what's his name? Alex Lewington. Thank you. I must never forget that name because that boy's a star.
Yeah,
out and out star. If he's not on the wing for England soon, there's something wrong.
Well, he got called into the squad. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
He did, yeah.
But obviously, a year in the Championship.
Why not take him this year? I mean, he's dynamite.
Well, they've taken Fijian Joe, haven't they?
Cock and
Seager. Yes, they have. But I think he's more. I mean, I'm not actually. I didn't see Fijian Joe play at all during the playoffs. Why did he not play? Was he injured?
I don't know. Is the honest answer.
He's all right to go on tour.
He is. He's touring.
Mm. Well, yeah. The guys are starting. In fact, they might have two star wingers. So London Irish need to get their act together because if they go down again, it isn't for lack of talent. So be warned.
I will say, historically, the Championship has been a really, really tough attritional competition. And one thing that always happens is you get forward packs that can go from Championship to Premiership and compete, because particularly the packs are really gnarly in the Championship. There has been a slight drop-off in quality with the sides overall down the Championship, and I think that that will affect London Irish up front. I think their back line looks really quite exciting, albeit in key decision-making positions, there's still maybe a little bit raw, wet behind the ears. The fly-half position could be a concern, but they've got a lot of firepower in the back line. But I think that the drop in quality in the Championship is something that London Irish are going to have to cope with and get up to speed and get hardened up really quickly up front.
Yeah, well, I guess a guy like Petrus du Plessis will go a long way to shoring things up. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. I don't, I do just worry that there's far too much mistakes and they're not hard enough in defence. Those are my two key concerns.
Well,
from what I've seen.
Well, do you know what? The Petrus du Plessis point you make is a really good one, because the year London Irish were in the Avicii Premiership last, if I can't remember if it was Owen or Ben Franks, I think it was Owen Frinks. If Owen Frinks had been fit for more than the three or four games he actually played, I think they would have stayed in the Premiership.
Mm. Ben Franks, but yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, they always seem to struggle at London Irish keeping front rows fit. A few years ago, it was Helani Lika. When he played, they won.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
But they've still got David Pace, and I love that guy. So, look, anyway, well done, London Irish. We're very much looking forward to talking about you a lot more next season.
Yes, completely agreed. Anything else you boys want to discuss? Have we missed anything?
It's been confirmed. I'll just rattle through some other stories. We don't need to talk about them in any depth. We've already talked about King Louis, but it's been confirmed he's definitely going to Montpellier, as was already reported, but now it's been confirmed by Montpellier.
Heartbreaking. It has also been confirmed that Northampton are getting a sizeable transfer fee because King Lou is on a 3-year deal, I believe.
Ooh, shall we just play a quick game?
Okay.
How would you spend Northampton's money? I'll let Tim go first and then let Phil go, and then I'll tell you who's won.
They have to get a number 8. They have to get a number 8. So far, they've only got Tamana Harrison, really. Mm-hmm. Kind of covering that position. Just all out number 8. And what's being talked about is Pierre Spies.
Do you know what? I was about to say that. I've not heard anything about it, but I thought, well, Pierre Spies would be
no, available. He's rumoured. Oh, they're going to have Mitch Eadie as well. I take it back. They'll have Mitch Eadie too. But I don't think either of those are good enough. And based on where they've been, which is Samu Manoa and Louis Picamol, they need that ball carrying in their back. They need it in their side somewhere. So if they don't get it from a number 8,
they've got a load of cash, so you can have two players. So you've got, who are you picking? Pierre Spies? Are you going to go with someone
else? No, I'm not picking Pierre Spies, because that's who the rumour is all about coming. But I think that would be a massive drop in quality from Picamol.
But Tim, as the title of the game indicates, it's not what's happened, it's who are you going to pick? Loads of cash, mate.
Go on, Phil, you can go first.
So, I think Tamina Harrison, the best I've seen him play is when he's played number 8 for Northampton. And I think Mitch Eadie is a handy player. I think they need a real 10.
Ooh.
So, they've got Malinder, they've got Myler.
They've got Bigger.
Huh?
Yeah, next year.
Huh?
Apparently, year after next, he signed like some pre-contract agreement. So, not this year, next year.
Bigger,
yeah. Allegedly, yeah. He signed.
Yeah, there was talk about that a little while ago. Do you know what? I'm gonna say it. He's unsettled at Stad. He was on the bench in that final. Go all out for Sergio.
Nice. That's a good replacement. And also, it's a big enough star name, isn't it, to keep the fans interested?
Oh, it certainly would keep the fans interested. I was more thinking Harry Malinder can play 10. I prefer him as a 12. That back line has not sparkled. They've not got the best out of that back line for a couple of years, and they've got some really talented players. I want a real quality number 10, not Dan Bigger, someone from...
Give me a name. I need a name.
Probably someone who's unsettled.
Piers Francis. We don't know. We just don't know what he's going to be like.
We don't, but I would want a bigger name. I would want...
Finn Russell.
Finn Russell would be good. Go for Aaron Cruden.
Aaron Cruden. Oh, also at Montpellier.
Is he definitely?
I believe he's signed, yeah. So really, yeah, they should have leveraged this for a swap, shouldn't they?
For a trade deal.
PSB, Sanara and Cruden, if you really want the hometown boy.
They've got, like, the 8, 9, 10 for Montpellier is as good as you can get in European rugby. Possibly in world rugby, club rugby, that is. Louis Picamol, Ruan Pienaar, Aaron Cruden.
Are those... Oh, my God. Yeah, it's frightening. yeah. And Ruan's definitely confirmed. 100%.
I think so, yeah.
I think he is. But there's also... I've not actually seen it printed anywhere, I don't think.
He's also playing for Ulster tomorrow night.
Is he?
He is.
For who? Against who?
Against the Barbarians. He is visiting as part of the Barbarian squad, but he's playing for Ulster.
And what is the... What exactly is the Montpellier plan here? To literally drag him as he claws his way back into the Kingspan?
Do you know what? Now that Mamuka Gorgodza has given up international rugby, just spend all of that money on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think Northampton, and we can save this for our pre-season podcast or whatever, but Northampton have got to upgrade their backs in general. Ben Foden, I think is past it. We saw in that final game against Staddy was just put on toast by the opposition winger.
I think he's still got something to offer Foden. Do you know who I'd get rid of? I'd get rid of George North. I think he takes up too much money. I would maybe get rid of... No, George North. Yeah, I'd start there. Because you can get just better value, is my
thinking. Well, I think you can get better value for Foden. He'll be on his England money.
Yeah.
And he's not an England quality player anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not a bad shot at all. So ditch those two, get a new fullback, get a new winger, get a new fly half.
Yeah.
It's interesting, one of the other stories from Northampton this week was two of their young lads, Tom Collins and Tom Stevenson, who've not had much game time at all this season. They've both gone to Australia to play for the Randwick club in the...
Is that right?
Whatever it's not the NRL.
Yeah, I know exactly the...
Whatever the Aussie version of the NPC in New Zealand is.
The equivalent of the ITM.
So who they lost? Collins and...
Well, they've not lost them.
Lost them, yeah, but...
They've got to get some game time.
Game time over the summer, Collins and Stevenson.
Oh, good lads.
Tom Stevenson is a very handy centre as well.
And that's exactly what you need to be doing.
Hmm. So yeah, fair play to them. They're not on the beach or drinking coffee with the boys.
I bet they are.
Well, maybe they're doing both, but they're also getting some rugby as well.
Any other news?
I'm sure there is. I can't think of any right now.
I think
this 20-minute podcast has already gone on long enough.
Yeah, we're 15 minutes over our 20-minute podcast.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right. Good. So
me and Phil will go and leave you to it. You can talk about Sam Warburton picking up the leaf to accept the challenge from the native indigenous New Zealander.
And rubbing noses with the Chiefs.
Yeah, whatever that's all about. I will finish with this then, as we've done with actual rugby. I think it's safe to say we can confirm now we're going to do a podcast immediately, aren't we? Every Saturday morning, or every morning that the Lions play.
Yeah.
Is that confirmed?
So, yes, we're gonna do an immediate, and because of certain commitments, we'll always have two of us. Most of the time, we'll have three of us, but that will be immediately after the game. Within an hour of full time, we should have a podcast there waiting for you. Just a quick reaction to every single game.
Yeah, and we might be working in a few guests now and again.
Yeah. You'll have your regular full-on Sunday podcast, as you've come to expect. And then, much like this, but we'll actually keep it short and sweet, not rambling on.
Good luck.
A good preview podcast for the Saturday games, which look to be the biggest of the games.
Exactly. Well, Tim, I introduced us because we needed the music. But as you're the professional here, why don't you do the outro?
I'll do the outro. We are Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram. We're Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere on social media that you are. So go find us. But more importantly, subscribe so that whenever we do drop a podcast, it drops straight into your feed and it's there waiting for you to enjoy it as we get closer and closer to the British and Irish Lions Tour 2017. We're all over that for you. We are the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Bentinho starting. Take us out, Horn.
Not quite, but never mind. See you later.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.